The WWF, what the world is watching.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
Guys, and welcome back to the Wrestling Memory Grenade, now at episode 124, the fallout from WrestleMania 4 here in 1988 in the World Wrestling Federation. That's right, guys, this week we're diving into April news and results for 1988 in the World Wrestling Federation. Welcome back to the Grenade Show, guys. Took a couple weeks off, and I am your host, Ray Russell. I did say at the end of the WrestleMania 4 review that I'd probably be taking a week off, well, in an unexpected second week as well here, just for the Grenade Show. All the other shows on WrestleCopia were up and running just fine and dandy last week, but it takes a whole lot more work here on the Grenade than it does any of the other podcasts here on the WrestleCopia brand. So, for those who missed the message on social media, I had a couple of my little ones fall sick. Nothing major, just pretty bad colds, which I, too, eventually fell into. But that's behind us now, and we continue to move on with the Grenade Show here this week. As the company is a-changing, as you heard at the beginning of this episode, a brand new intro for the World Wrestling Federation, as it is now the WWF, what the world is watching. And wishful thinking, got my fingers crossed here. Hopefully the world is listening to the Wrestling Memory Grenade. And before we get rolling, guys, once again, got to thank all of my great co-hosts that stopped by for both parts of the WrestleMania 4 review. Jamie Ward, Gene Jackson, of course, my brother Jesse, had a great time on both shows with all of them. And you guys have no idea the work that went in, the effort, the time that went into putting those shows together. Some near 7.5 hours of audio there. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. Go back, check it out if you haven't listened to it yet. It's not just, oh, well, Dino Bravo got disqualified. Anybody can do that. No, I did a deep dive and once again busted out another definitive edition of WrestleMania, this time WrestleMania 4. And I'm going to break the fourth wall for just a minute here, guys. Just like a movie, everything's not necessarily filmed in order. Well, with those WrestleMania 4 review, parts 1 and part 2, not necessarily recorded in order. I had to work around all of my great co-hosts, their schedules, their availabilities to get all of the recordings done. And then, of course, I had to go back, splice it all together, add in the wraparounds, make everything sound nice and smooth, a smooth transition in and out of every part of the show. So it was very tedious, very time-consuming. It really drained me, to be honest with you guys, both emotionally and mentally, maybe even physically. I was done. I was wiped out. I needed that week off from the Grenade Show. But as you guys know, if you listen to the other podcasts here on the brand, we just keep rolling here. There's no time for breaks. That isn't until, well, we'll get to that later in the program. But as for right now, let's get this show rolling. And I promised everyone, at least on social media, maybe I did it on the show. It's been a couple weeks. I can't recall. But I invited everybody to leave their feedback for the WrestleMania 4 reviews, both on X, formerly Twitter, as well as Facebook. And I said anybody who left any credible feedback, both good or bad, would be mentioned a shout out here on the Grenade. I would read your feedback right here on the Grenade Show. Top of the program, guys. And we're going to get down into that right now. As I head over to X, formerly Twitter, you guys can find me there at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Mysterioico, or Mysterioico, not really sure how to pronounce that. I do apologize. In regards to the WrestleMania 4 review episodes, he said, I don't listen to many other wrestling podcasts anymore, burnt out a while ago, but I love me some Wrestling Grenade. And I love the WrestleMania 4 episodes. I listen while I draw. And it was insane how quickly the time flew by. I always appreciate how y'all give us an honest review, but don't go out of your way to shit on anything or anyone. The first-hand memories were a treat as well. Sound bites had me grinning. If WrestleMania 4 was a radio broadcast, I bet it would be considered an all-time great. Love what you guys do. Looking forward to the rest of 1988. Got to thank you so much for that. Just brought a smile from ear to ear from me reading this. And then we're going to move over because we got a ton of feedback here from Facebook, guys. And it all starts with Scott Alderson, who wrote, top-notch work as always. He goes on to say that I've done my own tournament in the wrestling podcast business, and it comes down to you, Ray Russell, versus Jim Cornette in the finals. Well, I do appreciate the kind words. I don't think I'm taking the trophy home. I know who wins that pony, but wow, it's great to be in the same field of names as one Jim Cornette. Thank you, Scott. A great follower of the WrestleCopia brand, a great backer. I appreciate those kind words. We go on. Seth Hughes says, I just finished the second part of your WrestleMania 4 review, and all I can say is, wow. That's all capitals, guys. W-O-W. Wow. He says, the research, detail, and behind-the-scenes info that you put into not only two WrestleMania 4 episodes, but the subsequent episodes leading up to the pay-per-view was phenomenal. Seth then says, your own personal experiences and memories of the pay-per-view also added so much more to each episode as well. He says, well done, guys. You guys no doubt knocked it out of the park with your coverage of WrestleMania 4. You have a new fan of the podcast. Well, Seth, welcome to the Wrestling Memory Grenade. Welcome to the WrestleCopia brand. As we roll on here, Deontay Park says, my all-time favorite, the Wrestling Memory Grenade and WrestleMania 4. Trump Plaza in Atlantic City, job well done. David Lawson also wrote in, said, thoroughly enjoyed every minute of your guys' podcast. The Wrestling Memory Grenade, hands down, the best network out there. Well, thank you, David. We go on, just a couple more here. I wanted to read on air. Keith Cruz, he says, the two episodes covering WrestleMania 4 brought me back in time. It was great hearing about what it was like in the arena and with great insights on why some matches resulted oddly for reasons that I wasn't aware of when I was a kid. The audio clips with Bob Uecker were hilarious, and I agree, he could have been a great wrestling personality if he was a full-time announcer. Well, I certainly back that up, Keith. And Keith going to finish up here by saying, all in all, these were great episodes and a job well done by Ray and his guest stars. And then just a slew of names here I'm going to run through because it's a lot of great jobs, good jobs, job well done, coming from the likes of Pete Taylor, Paul G. Basso, Wesley Ostmeyer, Carl McAllister, Steve Reese, Lance Clearcy, Marcy O'Neill, and Buddy Landell's Cocaine. Gotta love that name. And I do believe he's wrote in before. But yeah, thank you guys so much for all the job well done messages. A little Barry Horowitz pat on the back for myself, and I hope Jamie Ward, Gene Jackson, my brother are out there listening, and they give themselves a little pat on the back as well for a hell of a 7.5-hour ride through WrestleMania 4. But that is now behind us, guys, and we move on to the following month, April. And it's time for some April news here for 1988 in the World Wrestling Federation. And I'll say this as we get rolling, too. A lot of people have strong opinions about WrestleMania 4. Most either loved it or they hated it. While some people like Jamie Ward loved the tournament format, others I've seen online for years, they simply couldn't make it through that grueling process to get to the finals. And I get both sides. There's some charm to the show, obviously. I've talked all about it for nearly 8 hours. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie to you, there were certainly points in the show where it was rough. But say what you want about WrestleMania 4. At the end of the day, we know one thing, thanks to Gorilla Monsoon, it was indeed a happening. As were the podcasts. But time doesn't stand still, so we move on now with the April news. And there's not a whole lot of big news because we're coming out of WrestleMania. The guys are given 3 weeks off from the house shows. But we're going to have some fun here anyway, look into some things. As we say goodbye now to the likes of Sika, the Wild Samoan, the Natural Butch Reed, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who all had their final match in this run at WrestleMania 4. I should also note that the King, Harley Race, also finished up at WrestleMania before taking now what will be a lengthy sabbatical. Now, we will see Harley appear on TV in the upcoming weeks from some matches that he taped prior to WrestleMania. However, realistically, Harley is out following the Battle Royal match from that injury that he received during that matchup earlier last month against Hulk Hogan on Saturday night's main event. Remember the spot, Harley Race coming off the apron, going through that table, and a piece of the table causing an internal injury to Race to where he's going to have upwards to a foot and a half of his intestines removed. Ugh. Well, if anybody can make it through it, certainly it'll be Harley Race. And we won't see Harley return until the fall. So, long live the king. And hey, how about this for a random hire alert? The Canadian lumberjack Joe LeDuc headed in to the WWF here in just a few weeks' time. The French-Canadian expected to be a heel managed by fellow Quebecer Frenchie Martin. And let's not forget, guys, many more newcomers headed in soon. The likes of the Big Boss Man, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, the Rockers, the Warlord and the Barbarian, the Powers of Pain, Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig, Terry Taylor, and not new on the payroll, but a brand new character coming to WWF TV very shortly by the name of Brother Love. Yes, that late 80s and early 90s roster going to be here before you know it. And talking about all the upcoming talent headed in, be on the lookout. Wow, if there was ever a reset button in the WWF, it typically happens after WrestleMania, but maybe more so here in 1988 than any other year around it. An enormous amount of feuds going to be taking place immediately after the pay-per-view. Perhaps some turns, babyface turns, heel turns, who knows? And other changes to kick off immediately after WrestleMania we're going to see on TV on the next episode of The Grenade as we do away with the localized promos and we welcome in the Event Center. This is where it all happens, guys. And I touched on this just a moment ago, but the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, they've started a new journey as of WrestleMania, not only beginning what you might could say is a babyface turn, especially for the Hitman up front. We're going to be seeing them fire their manager, Jimmy Hart, and both men being tested as single superstars. Meanwhile, on the other end of the tag team scene, the babyface Rougeau brothers apparently have now adopted the adjective fabulous to their name as they begin to take on a more aggressive style in the ring. We'll have to wait and see what comes of that. And speaking of tag teams, also the Islanders, Haku and Tama, they're going to undergo several changes in short fashion over the next month here. First, they're going to add a third member to the Islander team, the High Chief Siviafi. That's right, Siviafi returning to the WWF as a heel and the latest addition to the Islander tag team. Now a triple threat, it would seem, until just a couple weeks later, if that, Tama, the twin brother of Rikishi, he's going to have a dispute with the World Wrestling Federation. Some say it's over the push. Some say it's over pay. I say it's over an immature 22-year-old, perhaps too much too soon. And the fact that more than one person has referred to Tama, the Samoan Savage, as, let's be polite and just call him batshit crazy. And of course, that dispute going to lead to Tama's departure from the WWF. As you guys will see as we go through April and May, Afi then going to fill in for Tama in some of the tag team matches for the Islanders and the Bulldogs before Afi, too, again removed from WWF TV, this time permanently, and Haku going to go at it solo moving forward. So lots of things going on in that tag team scene. And guys, I did mention lots of new feuds are brewing and, of course, recurring matches and feuds continuing as well, perhaps stemming from WrestleMania 4, maybe going back just prior to it. But you better believe that the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, going to be chasing the Macho Man, Randy Savage, for that WWF title. Also, Strikeforce looking to regain their tag team titles from Demolition here on the upcoming house shows. And it doesn't end there. Also, Brutus the Barber Beefcake going to continue to chase the Honky Tonk Man for that Intercontinental title, while Honky, he plans his next hit on Brother Brutai. Then if you guys listen to the WrestleMania 4 review, if you've ever seen the pay-per-view, you know damn well that Bret Hart, he was screwed, damn it. Perhaps the first Hitman screw job as part of that Battle Royal. Bret Hart now looking for revenge against one Bad News Brown after that double cross in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania 4. And another man looking for revenge after WrestleMania is one Hacksaw Jim Duggan, now in a feud with Andre the Giant. The Giant costing Hacksaw his first round match versus Ted DiBiase. Duggan coming looking for revenge, and he's not coming alone. He's got that trusty 2x4 with him. Tough guy. You guys can also look forward to a heated rivalry between Jake the Snake Roberts and ravishing Rick Rude after Jake's real-life wife, Cheryl, is introduced into the mix. It won't be long. Also, supplemental feuds to bolster the meaning of the matches on the upcoming house shows. You got to give them A for effort here. Maybe not so much the matches, but we're going to see new feuds. Battle of the Strongmen. The Canadian strongman Dino Bravo going to be taking on Ken Patera. Also, Junkyard Dog going to have some issues with the Outlaw. Ron Bass, plus other pairings, will continue for the short term, including the Ultimate Warrior versus the Mighty Hercules. The Bulldogs and the Islanders still going to be going at it. Bam Bam Bigelow not done with the one-man gang, especially after WrestleMania. And Sam Houston and Danny Davis still getting it on at the house shows. Then from there, Greg the Hammer Valentine. He's going to be adding a new shin brace to his gimmick. The new shin guard for Greg the Hammer Valentine. Many say it's actually a weapon. And the hammer and his deadly figure four eventually going to lead to issues with the Rock, Don Morocco, and manager, superstar Billy Graham. Plus, if that's not all, a brand new primetime wrestling set. Is it coming? It's the one you guys all know from 88, 89, 90, into 91. And with the new primetime set comes the infamous banana phone. Can't wait till we get there. Plus, as I already mentioned, localized promos now turned into the Event Center, which is initially going to be hosted, many don't remember this, by Mean Gene Oakland, going to be the initial host of the Event Center before being replaced in just maybe a month or so by a fellow by the name of Sean Mooney. Like I said, lots of things changing, but business is most assuredly picking up around here right now. And that's going to do it here this week for April news. Like I said, not a whole lot to report here. Just wanted to kind of highlight all of the things to come, what we can expect from the fallout from WrestleMania 4, and of course, everything going on here throughout the month of April into early May. And just real quickly, before we get into the April results here, and some fun sound bites from Madison Square Garden as well, before we get going, just a reminder, you guys can listen to this show here, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, but also our sister shows, like the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. Of course, it's 1981 Georgia with Jamie Ward, 1985 in the Memphis Territory with Gene Jackson, and 1986 in Bill Watts' UWF with Roman Gomez. Also now up, you can listen to our brand new podcast, the Puro Wrestling Academy, with the host with the most, the professor of Puro Resu himself, Mr. Dan Ginnity, as we go back in time and dissect, analyze, and have a lot of fun talking about the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And how could I forget the Wrestling Stoop podcast with the legend himself, Bob Roop, more than 20 years in the business, both in the ring as well as behind the scenes. Bob shares truly a lifetime of stories dating from 1969 all the way to 1990, his wrestling journey. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And be sure to follow me on social media, guys, for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. And you can follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade, and subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. And last but certainly not least, now a great time. God, we've had so many patrons join in the last several weeks here. Business is definitely picking up for the WrestleCopia brand, and you guys can join too, part of that $5 all-access tier over at patreon.com/WrestleCopia. That address again, patreon.com/WrestleCopia, where you get so many gifts for just $5, including all of my insanely detailed show notes for every episode of the Grenade Show, Regional Wrestling, and the Monday Warfare Podcast. And hey guys, there's rumors that very soon we'll be adding show notes for many episodes of the Puro Wrestling Academy, so you're going to want to access those as well. But not only do you get the show notes, you get remastered versions of the earliest episodes of the Grenade Show, covering the 1989 NWA project. Includes enhanced sound quality, plus new content and conversation never heard before. Then from there, hey, you guys know it by now, if you're a patron, it's early access to many of the podcasts here on WrestleCopia, where you can listen days and sometimes as much as a week earlier than the rest of the listeners. But that's still not all. You also get digital downloads for your viewing and reading pleasure, random bonus video drops, video casts have started to make their way onto Patreon. Go check out Grunt the Wrestling Movie right now. And of course, our Patreon exclusive Watch Along series, covering many past WWF and WCW events. And you get all of that, guys, for the low, low price of just $5. No subscription, cancel anytime, show your support. Give it a try for a month. I think you'll like all of the content that I offer, and every penny of it goes right back here into keeping the WrestleCopia Podcast Network and all of the great shows here up and running for the months and the years to come. Hey, hey, guys, you're invited to join us April 20th, Orlando, Florida, at the fabulous Rosen Center Hotel for Barry Rose and Captain Nick Massey's Glory Days Grapple Con. Tickets available right now at eventbrite.com. It's a full day of events, meet and greet with dozens of your favorite wrestling superstars, both past and present. It all kicks off 10:30 in the morning. Ron Simmons, a special one-hour Q&A session.
Damn!
Then from there, meet and greet all of the great superstars in attendance. Get your pictures, get your autographs, and spend some time. Have some conversations. Make a memory. Before we head off to the Legends of World Class reunion panel, hosted by former announcer Mark Lawrence. Just some of the names on the panel include Brian Adias, Al Perez, the One Man Gang, Missy Hyatt, and Jack Victory. They're going to go back in time and discuss their time in the World Class territory. Then from there, late in the evening, it's a shot of Jack with Jack Victory. So come on in, stop by, have a good time, have some drinks, and most assuredly, have quite a few laughs as well. Again, mark your calendars, April 20th, Orlando, Florida, the Rosen Center Hotel. It's the Glory Days Grapple Con. Get your tickets today over at eventbrite.com. All right, guys, you're not going to want to miss that. That's Barry Rose and Captain Nick Massey's Glory Days Grapple Con. Mark your calendars, April 20th, the fabulous Rosen Center Hotel, Orlando, Florida. I'm going to be there. The missus is going to be there. We're going to have a great time. We're making a vacation of it. We're going to be out of town for about a week, but more on that at the end of the program, but definitely going to be a great time. If you're a listener of The Grenade or any of the great shows here on WrestleCopia, do not be afraid to say hi at the Grapple Con. Looking forward to meeting each and every one of you, and I won't be offended if you buy me a drink. All right, but with all of that said, guys, let's get back into the program here. Time for April 1988 WWF results. And as always, I encourage everybody to stop over to the history of WWE.com. Great site kept up by Graham Cawthon and, of course, Richard Land. Head over to the history of WWE, click on that 1988 results link, and scroll along with me as we look through many of the results here for April 1988 in the World Wrestling Federation. And before we get going into the results, let's take a look at some of the towns the WWF is headed to in the month of April. It's the World Wrestling Federation on tour.
It's the World Wrestling Federation on tour, coming to these great areas and facilities with action. Tuesday, April 26th, Glens Falls, New York, the Glens Falls Civic Center. It's Brutus the Barber Beefcake on the card in Glens Falls. Monday, April 25th, New York, New York, Madison Square Garden. Macho Man Randy Savage is in Madison Square Garden. Sunday, April 24th, Landover, Maryland, the Capitol Center. The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, sees action in Landover. Saturday, April 23rd, Pontiac, Michigan, the Pontiac Silverdome. Hacksaw Jim Duggan on the card at the Silverdome. Saturday, April 23rd, Providence, Rhode Island, the Providence Civic Center. You'll see the Islanders with Bobby the Brain Heenan in Providence. Friday, April 22nd, Springfield, Massachusetts, Springfield Civic Center. The Honky Tonk Man on the card at the Civic Center. Thursday, April 21st, New Haven, Connecticut, the New Haven Coliseum. Bam Bam Bigelow in action in New Haven. It's the World Wrestling Federation. Be a part of it when it comes to your area. It's the World Wrestling Federation on tour, coming to these great areas and facilities with action. Friday, April 29th, Columbus, Ohio, the Ohio Center. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat returns to Columbus. Thursday, April 28th, Phoenix, Arizona, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Demolition Tag Team Title Defense in Phoenix. Thursday, April 28th, Louisville, Kentucky, the Louisville Gardens. The one-man gang on the card in Louisville. Wednesday, April 27th, Allentown, Pennsylvania, the Allentown Fairgrounds. Agricultural Hall, the Junkyard Dog tops a great card in Allentown. Wednesday, April 27th, Toledo, Ohio, the Toledo Sports Arena, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, in Toledo. Wednesday, April 27th, Syracuse, New York, Onondaga County War Memorial, the British Bulldogs will be in action in Syracuse. Tuesday, April 26th, Fort Wayne, Indiana, the Allen County War Memorial. It's Randy Macho Man Savage topping a great card in Fort Wayne. Be a part of the great World Wrestling Federation action when it comes to your area.
All right, and away we go with April 88 results. And right out of the gate, some interesting booking here, because much like last year, the wrestlers given time off after WrestleMania. Remember, a handful of guys worked a small tour shortly after WrestleMania 3. But outside of that, everybody given time off for about 3 weeks or so after the event, and no different here. The vast majority of the talent will not go back on the road until April 21st. However, there is a very small, quote-unquote, European tour to kick off the month of April. The WWF headed to Switzerland and Italy with, I believe, something like a 14-man roster. And we're going to look at those results to kick things off. It's all about April 1st, right out of the gate. Lugano, Switzerland. Going to see Steve Lombardi over Brady Boone. The Ultimate Warrior defeat Andre the Giant on a DQ. It's Hacksaw Jim Duggan pinning the Mighty Hercules. Coco Beware over the Outlaw Ron Bass, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake downing Greg the Hammer Valentine. And listen to the, well, I guess you could call it the main event, if you will. Listen to these results, guys. The Young Stallions, Jimmy Powers and Paul Roma, defeating brand new WWF Tag Team Champions, Demolition. You heard me right. Talking about wanting to send the fans home happy. Now, obviously, not a title match, but wow, the Young Stallions over Demolition. I wish that was on film, but I'll tell you what was on film the following day, April 2nd, Milan, Italy, televised on Italia 1, included Dan Peterson on commentary, and these matches are out there. I have this video, and the results here looking like this. It's Brady Boone over Steve Lombardi with a German suplex. Ah, here comes sweet revenge. Demolition defeating the Young Stallions. Axe scoring the win over Paul Roma following the Demolition decapitation. Then from there, Brutus the Barber Beefcake over former partner Greg Valentine on a disqualification. Hammer getting a little too aggressive, shoving referee Dave Hebner. More action on the card. It's Birdman Coco Beware pinning the Outlaw Ron Bass with a schoolboy roll-up. The Ultimate Warrior battling his current nemesis, the Mighty Hercules, to a double countout. And the main event in Milan, Andre the Giant pinning Hacksaw Jim Duggan following a big boot. Duggan sending Andre into the corner, but running into that giant-sized boot. And Andre able to capitalize and get the win. The match goes about 7 minutes. Now, post-match, Andre choking Duggan down. Referees getting involved, trying to get the giant off of Duggan. But it was Hacksaw's trusty 2x4 that would get the job done. Hacksaw blasting Andre at least a couple times there with the board. Andre finally releasing the choke and leaving ringside. Milan, Italy. Wonder if Santino was in the crowd. Anywho, we roll on one final night here on this mini tour, April the 3rd in Cesena, Italy. Hope I pronounced that right. It's Brady Boone again over Steve Lombardi. Coco Beware defeating Outlaw Ron Bass. I don't have results, but we get Hammer and Beefcake once more, as well as Demolition and Young Stallions. I guess that would be the rubber match, and Demolition coming home with the belt, so let's just say they won that. And listen to this one, Hercules taking on Jim Duggan, not to be outdone by, oh my God, in the main event, Andre the Giant pinning the Ultimate Warrior, much like the prior match with Andre and Duggan. It was Warrior running into a giant boot in the corner, but Andre going to take it a little further here and land a butt drop, a sit-down splash onto the chest of UW, going to score the win. Warrior perhaps doing his very first pinfall loss here in the WWF to Andre the Giant, and it happened in Italy. Boy, I'd love to see that footage. Now, following that brief April tour here at the beginning of the month, over in Europe, everybody here in the WWF taking some time off. nobody going back on the road until April 21st, when things are once again all systems go, full speed ahead, all hands on deck as we kick off the return of the touring by heading off to New Haven, Connecticut, April 21st in front of 12,000 fans for a WWF Superstars taping. And on that taping, several matches to be aired on Primetime Wrestling, including Ken Patera over Paul Sarantini with the Full Nelson. Also, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase scoring a pinfall win over Brutus Beefcake. You don't see Beefer do a lot of jobs, especially on free TV, but it is the Million Dollar Man pinning Brutai after a little trip up from Virgil outside on the floor. Now, post-match, it was Beefcake attacking DiBiase, preparing to cut the Million Dollar Man's hair, but Virgil pulling Ted out to safety. Both of those matches going to air on the May 2nd edition of Primetime. Also to be aired on May 9th, Primetime Wrestling, Intercontinental Champion Honky Tonk Man scoring a win over Bam Bam Bigelow. Wow, look at that. Talk about a challenger. Now that match goes to a countout. After about 5.5 minutes of action, Bigelow, the finish going to see both guys brawling on the floor, but Bigelow accidentally knocking the Honky Tonk Man back in the ring. Bammer unable to beat the count back himself, so somewhat similar to what we saw at WrestleMania in regards to the countout. Bigelow not being able to beat the count back inside. Honky Tonk Man going to squeak away with the title in a very unique match. I never thought Honky Tonk wrestled Bam Bam, but I was wrong. Also, a couple of dark matches here on this Superstars taping. Going to see tag team champions Demolition retain their title over the former champion Strikeforce. Also, Andre the Giant defeating the WWF champion Macho Man Savage on a disqualification. Now, this match actually going to be released many years later on the WWE unreleased 3-DVD set. So it's Andre over the Macho Man on DQ after Savage attacking Andre with a steel chair when he lost his cool after the Giant confronted the lovely Miss Elizabeth. Now, we're not going to go into actual TV taping results for Superstars, but just an idea of some of the things to come here. On this taping, we're going to see the singles debut, the brand new look of the Hitman Bret Hart. Also, this is where High Chief Afi joins the Islanders. And Hulk Hogan going to have a very rare singles match on television, Superstars nonetheless, taking on Boris Zukov of the Bolsheviks. This is also going to mark Hulk Hogan's final appearance until the summer, as he's going to go off to film No Holds Barred. And we roll on to April 22nd in a hybrid taping, both for Saturday night's main event to be aired on April 30th, as well as the May episodes of Wrestling Challenge. And in the dark match, it's Andre the Giant pinning Jake the Snake Roberts. Post-match, getting a little bit of his heat back, it's the Snake Man landing the DDT on Bobby the Brain Heenan. While Andre and Jake back in 88, Andre and Warrior back in 88, and Andre scoring pinfall wins. Now, as I mentioned, this is where they tape the 16th edition of what will be Saturday night's main event to be aired April 30th on NBC, but it's also a Wrestling Challenge taping, which will feature the debut of female ring announcer Mike McGurk, the daughter of one longtime pro wrestler and even more well-known pro wrestling promoter Leroy McGurk in the old Tri-States Mid-South territory before Bill Watts engulfed that. But here she is, Mike McGurk, about to make her WWF debut here on Wrestling Challenge, where she will stay for the next 5.5 years. So welcome aboard, Mike. Also, on this Wrestling Challenge taping, it's going to be our first instance of the Russo brothers being referred to as Fabulous. Well, that just sounds fabulous, doesn't it? And it's back to the house show results, guys, and things are going to get a lot more cookie cutter now, thanks to the event center. We're going to see a whole lot of the same matches in a lot of towns, which should cut down on scrolling through so many results, but at the same time, going to make for some interesting matches as well. And it all kicks off April 23rd in front of 6,700 fans in Providence, Rhode Island at the Civic Center. Brady Boone battling Steve Lombardi to a draw. It's Dino Bravo over Ken Patera by forfeit after Bravo attacking Patera during an arm wrestling contest prior to the matchup. Now, you see, Dino was about to lose the arm wrestling match, and as a result, he attacks Ken Patera, leaving him unable to compete. Also on the card here, in Providence, it's the Islanders and Bobby Heenan defeating the British Bulldogs and Coco Beware in a WrestleMania revenge match. Heenan and the Islanders going over again. Also, Jose Luis Rivera pinning Barry Horowitz. It's Ted DiBiase over WWF Champion The Macho Man on a countout. Ladies Champion Sensational Sherry pinning Desiree Peterson. Junkyard Dog over Outlaw Ron Bass on a disqualification. And The Ultimate Warrior defeating the Mighty Hercules. As we roll on, also April 23rd in the Silverdome. Wow, just think, over a year ago, WrestleMania 3 taking place in the Silverdome. Going to cut it down huge here, no doubt, for this house show in Pontiac, Michigan, April 23rd. As one of the matchups on the card, scheduled to be Ricky the Dragon Steamboat taking on Greg the Hammer Valentine, another WrestleMania revenge match, if you will. But the Dragon leaves the company following WrestleMania, so that match does not take place. However, this card does. It's Iron Mike Sharp over Scott Casey. Bret Hart battling Bad News Brown to a 20-minute time limit draw. Jake the Snake Roberts defeating Greg Valentine. Valentine originally scheduled to work Steamboat. Steamboat not here. Well, Jake originally scheduled to go into what I would call a house show feud with the King Harley Race. But Steamboat gone and Harley Race off for surgery. He's not going to be back until the fall, remember. So it's Jake and Valentine going at it here. And it's the Snake scoring the win over the Hammer. Also on the card in the Silver Dome, well, last year it was Hulk and Andre. This year it's Andre defeating Hacksaw Duggan on a countout. The Rougeau Brothers over the Killer Bees in a battle of the baby faces. Maybe. Also, Ravishing Rick Rude pinning The Rock Don Morocco. Intercontinental Champion Honky Tonk Man over Brutus the Barber Beefcake on a countout. Beefcake caught chasing Peggy Sue around ringside, counted out during the title match, but eventually getting hold of Peggy Sue, ripping her hair off. Hey, that's a wig. Peggy Sue was none other than Jimmy Hart in drag. Jimmy Hart barred from ringside for these upcoming matches, disguising himself as Peggy Sue, as Beefcake outing Jimmy Hart here, removing his garments, but Honky Tonk Man gonna retain. And the final match of the night here at the Silver Dome, Demolition retaining their titles over Strikeforce. As we go on, also April 23rd in Lowell, Mass. I do not have results, but I do have the matchups. It's the C Show. Everybody coming to town here includes Lanny Poffo versus the Conquistador, number one, numero uno, if you will. Jimmy Powers versus Nikolai Volkoff, which leaves Paul Roma to take on Boris Zukov. Then from there, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, now a solo wrestler, battling Sam Houston. It's George the Animal Steel versus Dangerous Danny Davis, and the main event featuring Bam Bam Bigelow going one-on-one with the one-man gang. Then from there, April 24th, Plymouth, New Hampshire at the Foley Gymnasium. Outback Jack back on the road, battling the Conquistador. Sam Houston versus Danny Davis. Bolsheviks going in tag team action with the Young Stallions. It's George Steele versus Jim the Anvil Neidhart and the Junkyard Dog taking on Outlaw Ron Bass. Now, I do have it on good authority that George Steele was injured and missing some shows around this time. Now, since I don't have results, it's very likely that Steele may not have even participated at these events, but that's where we're at. As we roll on, also April the 24th at the Maple Leaf Gardens, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, featuring Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan on commentary. Billy Red Lion's going to fill in for the Brain on several of the matches as well. Going to see Scott Casey over Iron Mike Sharp at the Bulldog. Match goes about 10 minutes. Then from there, the Rougeau Brothers defeating the Killer Bees when Jacques Rougeau pinning Jim Brunzel after Brother Raymond punching Brunzel in the face as Brunzel attempted a power slam on Brother Jacques. So the Rougeaus quickly becoming aggressive here. We'll see if that works out for them. Also on the card here in Toronto, Ravishing Rick Rude pinning the Rock Don Morocco. Rude using his feet on the ropes for added leverage there. Then it's Jake the Snake Roberts pinning Greg the Hammer Valentine, again subbing for the injured Harley Race. Jake landing the DDT to score the win there on the Hammer. From there, it's Andre the Giant over Hacksaw Jim Duggan. This was actually originally supposed to be Andre versus Bam Bam Bigelow, but instead Duggan subbing in here. Their feud going to go on now. Andre over Hacksaw on a countout after nailing Duggan with his own 2x4 out on the floor. And then it's six-man tag team action. The Islanders teaming with manager Bobby Heenan defeating the British Bulldogs and Coco Beware. Tama this time scoring the win over Coco after Bobby Heenan knocked Coco off the top rope. Tama taking the advantage and scoring the win there for the heels. And then in the main event with Jimmy Hart barred from ringside, it was Intercontinental Champion Honky Tonk Man with quote-unquote Peggy Sue defeating Brutus Beefcake again on a countout. Beefer once again getting a hold of Peggy Sue, revealing her to be dun, 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 Jimmy Hart. As we move on from there, Landover, Maryland, the Cap Center, April the 24th, just 4,500 fans to the Capitol Center. Going to see Barry Horowitz over Jose Luis Rivera. Brady Boone pinning Steve Lombardi. Once again, it's Dino Bravo defeating Kim Patera by forfeit. We get the same arm wrestling shenanigans. Once again, Bravo about to lose, attacking Kenny, doing us all a favor. Match doesn't happen. Bravo going to score the win on a forfeit there. But you have to wonder, shouldn't there have been a disqualification for Kim Patera? I guess it really doesn't matter. Also on the card, the Hitman, Bret Hart, battling Bad News Brown to another 20-minute draw. It's the Ultimate Warrior pinning the Mighty Hercules. Ladies champion Sensational Sherry over Desiree Peterson. Tag team champions Demolition defeating Strikeforce. Also on the card, Bam Bam Bigelow versus the One Man Gang. I don't have results for that one, but in the main event, it's the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, defeating the Macho Man, Randy Savage, on a countout. After Savage going to the top rope, looking for that patented flying elbow drop, but it's Virgil up on the apron, shoving Savage off the top rope and all the way out to the floor. The Macho Man unable to get back in the ring in time, can't beat the count, and Ted DiBiase going to go over on a countout. But look at that card. What a stacked card in regards to the title matches. I mean, really, from the third match up, you look at Brett and Bad News, the Warrior and Hercules, Bam Bam and the Gang. You got a ladies title match, a tag team title match, and the world title match, only drawing 4,500 fans in Landover. But we continue on to April 25th. Oh, this is more like it. In front of 17,000 fans, New York City, Madison Square Garden, televised on the MSG Network, including Gorilla Monsoon and Lord Alfred Hayes on commentary for this one. Now, this too was supposed to have Ricky Steamboat take on Greg the Hammer Valentine, but the match canceled with the Dragon now gone from the company. But the matches that do take place include Brady Boone scoring another win over Steve Lombardi with a German suplex. Dino Bravo now bringing it to TV. The big arm wrestling contest leading to Kim Patera's beatdown and the subsequent forfeit, giving Bravo yet another win. It's Bad News Brown taking on the Hitman once more. Bret Hart and Bad News going to another 20-minute time limit draw. One Man Gang over Bam Bam Bigelow by disqualification. And the match actually gets a little time here. Goes a little over 9 minutes. As Bigelow just loses his cool, continues to ram the Gang's head into the turnbuckle beyond the referee's count of five. Also on the card, we saw the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, once again defeat the Macho Man, WWF Champion, Randy Savage, on a countout. Match goes about 12 minutes. Once again, Virgil pushing the champion from the top rope out to the floor. Savage not able to beat the count, but he does find a steel chair, which he uses to chase the challenger and his bodyguard away from ringside. And right now, we're going to go backstage. We're going to hear from Gorilla Monsoon standing by with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. And then from there, it's his lordship, Alfred Hayes, with the WWF Champion, the Macho Man, and the lovely Elizabeth.
I'm standing here in the interview area. Thank you, your lordship, incidentally. With a man who was victorious for the first title defense by the Macho Man, Randy Savage. However, you're smart enough, you're clever enough, and you have enough money to understand that you do not, I repeat, you do not win the title on a countout or disqualification, only on pinfalls and submissions.
You know, baby. Gorilla Monsoon, ever since I've been in the World Wrestling Federation, it's always been if. Everything I've said that I was going to do here, I have done. Starting with buying the title, telling everybody that Andre the Giant would beat Hogan, and I told you people that I would take care of Randy Savage. That's right. First title defense. I don't care how you cut it, Savage. I don't care how you cut it. When the smoke cleared and the dust settled, whose arm was raised in victory in your first title defense? The Million Dollar Man. You can't do this. You can't do that.
Who has the gold, Mr. DiBiase?
Who's got the rule books from the rest of the World Wrestling Federation behind him? Randy Savage. But let me tell you something, Savage. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again right now. I proved to the whole wrestling world tonight what kind of man I am. Don't get me wrong, I'm not cutting you short. You're a great athlete or you wouldn't be at the top in the World Wrestling Federation, but you are not the caliber of wrestler that I am. You didn't have any guardian angel out there tonight to help you. All you had was sweet Elizabeth, and that ain't enough. What this match means is one thing. In my mind, I'm the champion, and you got to face me again, and the next time I'll leave no doubt in anybody's mind, including yours.
Are you proud of that kind of victory, of this man's interference out there? Is that the kind of victory you want?
Let me tell you something. They don't say how, they just say who, baby. I got my hand raised, and believe me, that belt will be mine. You can take that to the bank.
My guest right at this moment is the undisputed champion, Randy Macho Man Savage. Randy, a little while ago, Gorilla Monsoon had this interview with Ted DiBiase. Now, he said it was a shallow victory. What were your thoughts on this?
Man, I don't care anything what he says. And I'm talking right to you, Million Dollar Man. I'm talking right to you. I'm the World Wrestling Federation champion. WrestleMania 4, I dropped an elbow on you, and I pinned you 1, 2, 3. Yeah, from the sky, I put it on you. Yeah, and I was about to do it again. My first title defense in MSG, Madison Square Gardens. I got boot goosebumps right now. And I wanted it bad. I wanted Macho Madness bad right here. Didn't I, Elizabeth, huh? Didn't I? Yeah. And the Million Dollar Man, with all your dirty money, yeah. Your bodyguard, Virgil, you're proud of him on the outside, right? Knocking me off the rope, got the shallow victory, huh? That's the only victory that you could ever get against the Macho Man, Randy Savage. I demand a rematch, yeah. And I'm talking a champion demanding a rematch with the challenger, yeah. President Jack Tunney, know my name, know my voice, because I'm going to be in your office in the morning, yeah. Before you come in, I'm gonna knock the door down and I'm gonna be sitting in your chair. And I want the Million Dollar Man. I want the Million Dollar Man. And it's a World Wrestling Federation history, yeah. The history of this belt. I'm talking to you, Million Dollar Man. When I get you in the ring, it'll be the last time you ever wrestle for the belt. Come on,
that's a very enraged Macho Man. And believe me, Ted DiBiase, you better be careful.
Sounds like vengeance is mine. If you read between the lines, The Macho Man Randy Savage, he's not happy with the count-out loss. He retained the title, yes, but he has pride on his mind here, looking for revenge. Meanwhile, DiBiase gets the win, which should assure him another championship matchup in the not-so-distant future, so we'll have to pay attention how things shake out here at Madison Square Garden. Also on the card, Barry Horowitz over Jose Luis Rivera with a nice-looking Russian leg sweep. Then it's ladies' champion Sensational Sherry defeating Desiree Peterson. Before we head backstage one more time, is our next matchup going to feature the Ultimate Warrior taking on this man, the Mighty Hercules?
Gorilla Monsoon here in the locker room area of Madison Square Garden with one of the most predominant members of the World Wrestling Federation, referring to Hercules. Where is Bobby the Brain?
Bobby the Brain, you don't have to worry about him. Because one thing you always know about Bobby, he's out there thinking of something good for somebody.
Well, it would seem to me that a match of this magnitude, in fact, things didn't go all that well for you in Atlantic City at WrestleMania 4. So I figured, if anything, the Brain would be here. The Weasel definitely would be here.
Well, Bobby the Brain here is here in spirit. You know, there are still some unanswered questions in WrestleMania 3. That's true, Gorilla Monsoon.
Four.
But tonight,
WrestleMania 4,
it doesn't matter. But tonight, they will be answered. We will find out who the warrior is, who the true warrior is.
I notice you got a stronger chain. If I remember right, the Ultimate Warrior snapped that other
one. What are you talking about, Gorilla? That was me that broke that chain. Everybody knows my power. I don't have to prove myself.
Hercules, a powerhouse against a warrior, another powerhouse coming at you.
So there it was, Gorilla Monsoon standing by with a Bobby Heenan-less Mighty Hercules, and that may have hurt him here because it's the warrior scoring the win over Herc with the Gorilla Press drop. That is a sight to see for sure. One more matchup here in the Garden. Going to see tag team champions Demolition take on the former champion Strikeforce. As right now we head off, Gorilla Monsoon standing by with the new champs, the Demos and manager Mr. Fuji. Then from there it's Alfred Hayes with the former champions Rick Martel and Tito Santana.
Gorilla Monsoon here in the locker room area of Madison Square Garden with the newly crowned World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. Congratulations, Mr. Fuji. However, the way that you acquired it leaves a lot to be desired.
Anyway, I say, first time we meet, Fabulous, what you call Strike Force, we beat you, right?
What you call? Those are the former champions. What do you mean, what you call?
That's why I say, what you call, because we are now the champions. And we will prove to be greater champions. My demolition to hard training, but they will go to harder training now and prepare to defend the title.
Fuji, let me say this, that this could be the shortest-lived tag team champions in the history of pro wrestling, being that it could all go down the tubes right here in the Garden tonight.
Let me tell you, you sound like Jimmy the Greek. We are the demolition, Mr. Fuji.
Smash!
Well, you said it just perfect. Former champions, that's what they are. And now we're at Madison Square Garden, the Mecca of wrestling.
Well, Strikeforce, you used to have the belts. Your luggage used to be a little bit heavy when you dragged it around town. But what happened? It's light. Because Mr. Fuji told us to win. And when he says to win, we do anything. That means kick in teeth. That means break bones. And that's what we're going to do tonight right here.
You know, Mark.
Excellent. Let me ask you this, Axe. I saw the match. I called the match in WrestleMania 4 in Atlantic City. You guys were hungry. Extremely hungry, and rightly so. But right now, it is indeed Strikeforce, Tito Santana, and Rick Martel who are the hungry ones.
They're not hungry enough, Monsoon. You can boast about them. You can build their egos. But what they have to do, they've got to come after us. We own the gold. We own the store. They've got to come in our backyard now. And I don't think your boasting or their boasting can do it. We're fighting champions, and we'll prove tonight how much we can fight.
Title on the line tonight.
Right now with me are a team of young gentlemen who recently had the misfortune to lose their title. But believe me, they're trying to get it back, and this is their opportunity. This is the Strike Force, and here we have Rick Martel and Tito Santana. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, we're all fired up. We're all moments away, you know, from our revenge from WrestleMania 4. Everybody saw how Fuji and Demolition stole the belt from Strike Force. Yes, you know, we had him beat with that Boston Crab. And yes, they had to use, Demolition had to use Fuji's cane, hit me over the head with it. They're going to be sorry they didn't finish us off that night. Because now, Strike Force is going to come back and come back and keep on fighting back until we get those titles back. So yes, we are fired up.
Rick, you're going to have to face the fact that they're going to have Fuji in there again. Do you have plans for him?
We have plans for the three of them, I guarantee you. You're going to find out just moments away.
So you really think you have the confidence enough to get this title back?
There's no doubt in my mind, Lord Alfred Hayes, that we are the better team. You know, Demolition, you keep wondering, after the punishment they gave us in Atlantic City, they say, why do we keep coming back? Let me tell you why, brother, because we got the guts. We got the determination to get the belts back. You know, there's no doubt in my mind or Rick's mind that we are the better team. All we ask you, Fuji, is to keep your nose out of our match, and let's find out just how bad those big bad boys are really are. Because we know what we can do. Let's find out what they're all about, baby.
These two young men have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
What a match is going to be.
Well, Demolition certainly talk a great game there. Let's see what they can do in the ring, as they will indeed retain. It's Demolition over Strikeforce. Kind of short match. Match only goes a little over 7 minutes. Smash going to pin Tito Santana after Mr. Fuji interfering, hitting Tito with his cane as Santana prepared to put Smash away with the figure four leg lock. So the Demolition retained, Randy Savage retains, though he loses his match. Nevertheless, a fun night here in the Garden. And we've only got about five more show results here, but you'll see what I mean when I get there. First, we're going to look at this singular show, Montreal, Quebec, at the Forum, April the 25th. Scott Casey over Iron Mike Sharp. The Rougeau Brothers coming home, defeating the Killer Bees. Ravishing Rick Rude over The Rock, Don Morocco. Jake Roberts continuing to pin Greg the Hammer Valentine in the absence of Harley Race. Also on the card again, IC champion Honky Tonk Man over Brutus the Barber Beefcake, doing the countout deal once more. And the Islanders going to team with manager Bobby Heenan to score the win over the British Bulldogs and Coco Beware. That all leads us to the main event, as Andre, the French Giant, picking up a victory over Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Now from here, guys, April 25th-ish, somewhere around that point, this is where we get cookie cutter, as I said, where we're going to see A, B, and C shows, but a lot of them going to be identical, certainly in the matchups and usually in the results as well. So we're going to kind of fly through here. Four more results to look at, but a whole lot of towns they're taking place in. You'll see what I mean as we go off now to a quartet of events taking place April the 25th in Groton, Connecticut at the Grosso Southeastern Technical School, April 26th in Toms River, New Jersey at the North High School Gym, Allentown, Pennsylvania, on April the 27th at the old Ag Hall in front of only 800 fans. And then also April 28th in White Plains, New York at the Westchester County Civic Center. You might guess by the high school gyms, Ag Hall, this is indeed a C show. Again, Allentown only drawing 800 here for this show. And replacing George Steele versus Jim Neidhart on these cards, more often than not, it's going to be SD Jones scoring a win over George Scollin. Also one night a count out, but SD Jones over George Scollin here on the C-Town show. Of course, George, yes guys, the son of the legendary Arnold Scollin. Now, also on these C-Show cards, it's Outback Jack over the Conquistador, number one. Not sure if that's Jose Estrada or Jose Luis Rivera. But also on the card, Joe LeDuc. Big Joe LeDuc making his WWF debut, scoring a win over Jose Luis Rivera. So Rivera either doing double duty as a Conquistador or both guys on the card, Estrada and Rivera. Either way, though, Joe LeDuc now here, and he picks up his very first WWF win over Jose Luis. Also on the card, Young Stallions defeating the Bolsheviks on a disqualification. Really, we can't do a pinfall there. Velvet McIntyre defeating Judy Martin, one half of the former ladies tag team champions there. Then from there, it's Sam Houston over Danny Davis some nights. It's Davis over Houston. Take your pick. And the main event of these C-Town shows, it's the Junkyard Dog over the Outlaw, Ron Bass, as we continue on. A quintet of events here, all with the same outcome. And we're talking April 26th, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Allen County War Memorial. Toledo, Ohio, in the Sports Arena on April 27th. Then from there, April 28th, Phoenix, Arizona, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. April the 29th, Fresno, California, in the Celand Arena. And then closing out the month, April 30th, in San Francisco, California, at the Cow Palace, in front of 11,104 fans. It's Steve Lombardi over Brady Boone, Lanny Poffo defeating Barry Horowitz. Dino Bravo and Kid Patera continue their shtick with the arm wrestling match leading to the forfeit for Bravo's win. It's the Ultimate Warrior over Hercules. Bret Hart battling Bad News Brown to a 20-minute draw. Ravishing Rick Rude pinning The Rock Don Morocco. Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase over Randy Savage on a countout. And Strikeforce picking up victories over Demolition on a disqualification. So the world champion, the tag champions, Rude and Morocco, Bad News and the Hitman, Warrior and Hercules. I guess we could call this the A shows, I would have to assume. Which would make these next trifecta of results the B show, I would imagine, throughout this tour. April 26th in Glens Falls, New York at the Civic Center. April 27th, Syracuse, New York at the Onondaga War Memorial. And April 28th in Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Gardens. Now in Glens Falls, Louisville, and Columbus, we get Jake Roberts over Greg the Hammer Valentine. But in Syracuse only, it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan pinning Jim the Anvil Neidhart. What a slobber knocker. What a hoss fight that would have been between those two, Duggan and Neidhart. But I notice Duggan working Syracuse, but he doesn't work his hometown of Glens Falls. To quote the Hurricane, what's up with that? Now, every night, guys, it was the Rougeau brothers over the Killer Bees. Love what they're doing with the Rougeaus now after WrestleMania. Ladies champion Sensational Sherry over Desiree Peterson. Scott Casey putting away Iron Mike Sharp. IC champion Honky Tonk Man defeating Brutus Beefcake on a count out. The stipulation continuing. Jimmy Hart barfed the building, so he comes in dressed as Peggy Sue. Also, it's Bam Bam Bigelow battling the one-man gang to a double disqualification every night. Rick Rude continuing to use the ropes to score pinfalls over the Rock Don Morocco. Then in Louisville and Columbus, six-man tag team action. Going to see the Islanders and Bobby Heenan over the British Bulldogs and Coco Beware. And then in all the other cities, it's simply tag team action with the Bulldogs picking up a win over the Islanders. So it does appear that Coco Beware is the weak link. The Bulldogs finally able to score a few wins going up against the Islanders 2-on-2. And just like that, we're going to close out the month of April here in the house show results by looking at a pair of results. April the 29th, Utica, New York at the Memorial Auditorium in front of over 5,000 fans, 5,084 to be exact. And then we move on to April 30th, the final day of the month, Scranton, Pennsylvania at the CYC. And it's Joe LeDuc continuing on his winning ways, scoring wins over Jose Luis Rivera. Then it's Outback Jack over Conquistador number one, now verified to be Jose Estrada. Jim the Anvil Neidhart finally making the trip into this tour. Remember, it was supposed to be the Anvil and George Steele, but George Steele out of commission, so it's the Anvil over Special Delivery Jones. Then from there, Junkyard Dog over Outlaw Ron Bass on a disqualification in Utica and by pinfall in Scranton. Then it's Sam Houston over Dangerous Danny Davis, Velvet McIntyre defeating Judy Martin, Young Stallions over the Bolsheviks, and Andre the Giant picking up victories over Hacksaw Jim Duggan, first on a countout in Utica, and then a pinfall victory, Andre over Hacksaw in Scranton. And wow, these shows certainly fly by with those cookie-cutter house show results, so, but that's okay, it leaves more time to expand on the news, add a few extra promos and sound bites. But as you guys can tell, The fallout from WrestleMania 4 definitely in effect here. Lots of new matchups here on the house shows. Lots of title rematches. Savage and DiBiase, Strikeforce in the demos, Beefcake and Honky Tonk, but also some other interesting pairings. Rick Rude and Don Morocco really sticks out to me. And the Rougeau brothers slowly creeping into that upcoming heel turn. We know that's right around the corner. So lots of fun things going on right now as we come out of the big pay-per-view and move into the spring here of 1988 in the World Wrestling Federation. And I want to thank all of you guys for all your continued support here with the brand, the WrestleCopia brand, the Grenade Show. I knew it was going to be a light week. Not a whole lot of news, and of course, not a whole lot of results either. The WWF basically going dark for most of April, not returning with the entire roster until April 21st or somewhere around that time. So most of the boys given 3.5 weeks off following the big pay-per-view event. Time to heal, time to recover, but now it's time to get things going again. And much like me, I needed time to heal and recover after doing all of my due diligence, all of that hard work, all the research, all of the editing, all of the everything that went into those WrestleMania 4 shows. And when I took that second week off, because my kids were sick, I was sick, I had at least a couple people on social media send me a message. Hey, Ray, when are we going to get another Grenade Show? Well, guys, I'm only human. And while I appreciate your love, your passion, your interest in the show, I've also got to ask you guys for your patience at times. Because outside of guest co-hosts, this is a one-man brand. This is a one-man show. I do the research. I do all of the writing. I do all of the reviewing. Of course, the recording, the editing, grabbing sound bites are a chore in themselves. I spend more time, more hours, more days every week on the Grenade Show than any other podcast here on the brand. So believe me, guys, I put the time and effort into it, and I only want to give you guys an A-plus product. And yes, as you can tell by my voice, I'm not 100% yet, but I didn't want to let anybody down. So putting this episode out a little under the weather, and we're going to return hopefully next week with another 2 weeks of WWF television review here for April 88 in the World Wrestling Federation. But I do want to make this note here in advance. Me and the missus will be leaving Thursday morning, April 18th, for vacation. We're off to Orlando, Florida. Yes, we're going to be part of the Glory Days GrappleCon event, but the days leading in and the days following, we're also going to be enjoying our time away, vacation time. So there will be a week off here on the Grenade Show. I do apologize to all the listeners in advance, but this has been months of planning. The plane tickets are bought, the hotel is paid for, and we're going to be off from April 18th, and we will not return home until Wednesday, April 24th. So it's safe to say in 2 weeks' time, there will be likely very few shows here on the WrestleCopia brand because I'll be out of town and on vacation. I truly hope you guys understand. But after that, it's right back to the grind, guys, back into more April TV from there as we get closer to the next edition of Saturday Night's Main Event. But right now, I can assure you one thing. Next week here on the Grenade, it's the first 2 weeks of April TV for 1988 in the World Wrestling Federation. Once again, encourage everybody to follow me on social media on X and Wrestling Grenade. That's at RASSLIN Grenade also. Follow and like me, facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. And please check out, be like so many others, lots of new patrons in the recent weeks, all the great stuff going up over here at patreon.com/wrestlecopia and at $5 all access tier. Check it out, guys. You won't be disappointed. And I, for one, can't wait to be back here next week. Going to start diving into more WWF TV here in 1988. Going to be a absolutely fun ride. Next time out, we're going to hear a lot of new promos as part of the Event Center as well. Going to be fun. But until then, this is Ray Russell saying from pillar to post and coast to coast. You pull the pin and I'll pick up the pieces right here on the Wrestling Memory Grenade. I'll see you next week. Don't miss it. Be there!
Yeah, Madison Square Garden's MSG. Yeah, the love affair continues. World Wrestling Federation Championship match. Yeah, first title defense in MSG. Million Dollar Man, the Macho Madness thing is going on and on and on.